Welcome to the Weekend Market Report. I'm Michelle Rook with Jerry Gahlke, president of the Gahlke Group. Grain markets all lower for the week, with March corn down 12.5 cents, December down 9.5. March soybeans fell another 11.25 cents, with November 15.25 lower, and March soybean meal lost $1.20 per short ton. March soybean oil was off 167 points. March Chicago wheat ended 34.25 lower. March Kansas City wheat fell 36.25 cents, and March Minneapolis wheat lost 29.25 cents. March cotton ended over 21 cents higher. Jerry, it was another ugly week in the grains, with more fund selling pressure on the heels of the bearish numbers out of the USDA Ag Outlook Forum. So how did you manage this type of week in the markets?
Well, you know, we talked about it quite a bit in trying to capture the carry, and there were a couple of ways of doing it. And that would have been if grain is sitting in the bin, or I have mine in commercial storage, because we don't have the time now to store grain as much as we did 20 years ago. But you can sell the carry. You have, in order to capture it, you have to sell it. So being short futures, whether it was March or July, corn or beans, being short July worked. That went down faster than probably selling the calls, but depending on when you sold them. But that's another way of capturing capturing it. And especially if you're kind of uncertain or you have a bullish bias, selling a call says the price of grain's got to go higher before you're losing. And we did that. And the first, two objectives was to pay for the storage to maintain the grain, and it's not cheap on a farm or in commercially, and maybe even to make some of the money that was lost in equity by holding the grain and doing nothing of what wasn't sold, either forward contract or out of the field. We didn't have very many beans left at all, maybe 10% of our beans unsold in that area. And so, but corn was the one where we concentrated the most, and it worked. So today, being on a 3-day weekend, and I don't have a lot of regard for relative strength. A lot of the media touts it a lot, but relative strength is, a lot of people use the 9-day moving average relative strength type thing. It means that compared to 9 days ago, you're oversold. Well, compared to a new outlook or a new change or a report that changes the fundamental outlook completely, then is it 9 days from before that, or are we starting anew and 9 days from that time? And maybe on a negative report, you still aren't so oversold enough. And that's where we broke that 440 level in corn that I was watching, and $12 in beans. That set up a new paradigm shift that sent us even lower yet. Well, now you do that long enough and you can now look at a weekly relative strength. And I've been watching that, and it's down at 30 or below. And I think in some cases it was at lows on a weekly basis, which then now you're looking at 9 weeks. You're looking at, you know, over a month's time. And a lot happens. You have fundamental news that happens. And it got, during that 30 days, then it got oversold to the point where not very often in the past had we seen it that oversold before. And it was usually at a low, and at a low for good reasons. And then you start looking ahead as to what more could they hand us. You know, when the government comes out and agrees with most people on the negativeness of oversupply and prints it, then you gotta, regardless of what you think, you gotta agree with it. But these prices were well thought about in the past 18 months, as with the headwinds we got, we felt we had to go to $4.40 or $12 or less to discourage South America from selling. And of course, it discouraged corn from being planted. And the number has always been that USDA had was on 91 million acres. They didn't drop below that. And so there you are. We the numbers started to match what the negative outlook was. And you got to ask yourself, how much more negative could it get? It could get negative even more so in the spring, but we got spring weather and we got important growing parts in South America. So we took profits on basically everything. We were short futures in wheat and some other commodities, and short a lot of calls. And we met our objective of staying our head above water, paying for the storage, whether it's on farm or whether it's commercially, and then some. And I don't know exactly what per bushel amount was, but it was good. And not as good as selling everything out of the field, probably, or selling it in for July delivery if you had the storage and just let the chips fall where they may.
Well, you do have your conference coming up, so maybe you can get some fresh new perspective.
We have a conference next week that some pretty important people in the oil and the biodiesel level, and we're going to have it in California. And we'll take a, there's a point where you got to reset. And if you've been successful, you almost get to the point where you get too much into yourself. You think you know it all. And then about the time you think, well, I better, if a little was good, a lot's got to be better. So I'll double up here. And then you sell out at the bottom, and the way we go. So there's a lot of market psychology to this business that I've learned for decades. And it's hard to fight it, especially if you're holding grain and haven't done anything, like we heard at the top producer conference and from other firms. Then you finally get tired. You get sick and tired of looking at a equity going down. You say, you know, out of sight, out of mind. You just kind of throw up your hands and you dump it. That market psychology knows how to handle that. And that's about the time we put a bottom in, and who knows what next week brings with Argentina and Brazil and so forth. So that's a long story and a short decision. And it's pretty easy to go to the bank and say, all right, I'm using that as part of the money we made for the year. And we got basically 10 months left, or actually from the time I grow, time I plant my crop in the spring, or even now, you know, I got 6 months perhaps before I plant it. And I got about 12 months after I plant it to sell it. That grain that I'm going to plant next spring, I can hold it all through next fall if it's bad, and all through next spring, and right around to September before I harvest another crop if I have to. We have loan programs. If you're this low, you take a loan, and you can fight the battle if the odds are more in favor of seeing a 50-cent move up in corn than a 50-cent move down, perhaps. And so that's what futures are all about. You look ahead and try to know when to hold and when to fold them.
Well, early in this discussion, you talked about relative strength. And what is your take on the argument that the funds are short, they've been short for a long time, and eventually they're going to have to get out, which is going to produce a rally?
There's cycles in the grain that people like to tout, and that's the greed, hope, and fear. And that's greed when you hold it. You know, and then fear when it starts to go down, or hope when it starts to top bottom or go down, that, you know, things will get better, and then the fear that they don't. Well, I think the funds also know how we think and how we act, and that money needs to be had to put in a crop. And if Jerry and his friends don't sell the grain now and get a check by March, then the banks may force them to do that. So they kind of see that coming. And it's kind of interesting to me that all the time I've been in business, I don't know, there may be some that own it, but I doubt many fund managers own grain. You look at Cargill, Bunge, ADM, Dreyfus, all those people, they always tout that they can buy grain cheaper from the farmer than they can plant it. So why own farmland and pay the taxes and so forth? So, you know, some of that's true perhaps, but and now it gets down to the point where it's oversold enough now that on a weekly basis that the funds may start to turn. The thing that isn't said about this is that, you know, the commodity business and the futures market and price discovery, for every buyer there has to be a seller. So for every seller out there in the funds, when they sold grain, somebody had to buy it, and of course the commercials were buying it. Now, were the commercials buying it after the farmer sold it to them or whatever, we don't know. But at some point in time, one of them does have to fish or cut bait. And I don't know. I couldn't tell you whether the hedge funds sold July and sold way out there and they're going to hold that until it matures. Or did they sell March? And a lot of them like to sell March and then sell the carry to May and the carry and from May to July and July to September and finally roll it into D's. But we have to have a buyer out there to buy their position. And if somebody's not interested in, I'm gonna sell it to them. I mean, when you get down low enough, if they want to buy back their shorts, so to speak, who's gonna sell it to them? I'm not going to. If the market starts to rally from here and we get corn back above 440 again, if we could, we have to ask ourselves, why is it doing that when nobody wanted to own it when it went below 440? And pretty soon you can catch that fund manager probably as psychologically off base as you might catch me or somebody else that says, I'm going to sell it because it's going to zero. You know, well, it's not going to zero. And if you get somebody holding grain that says, you know, I've held it this long, I'm going to hold it a while longer. And then all of a sudden that speculator can't get out. And he got too greedy. So I think we have some of that getting into the market now as well, especially the longs that need to feed our grain. They need to process our soybeans and so forth. Is this a grand opportunity for them to buy a price that they didn't envision 18 months ago? Even though South America looks like they're going to get a relatively decent crop, you would think that if they're doing their P&L and hedging, they start buying here. And you don't hear that a lot. You don't hear a lot of people advocating it's time to buy corn, because if you're going to feed those cattle next fall, those high-priced feeder cattle that went up like a rocket, what are you going to feed them with? $4, $3.50 corn, or do you want to buy it for $3? And suddenly you find out you're paying $5 again, and that good deal turned out to be bad. So that's what makes the market go around. You got my opinion and somebody else's opinion and global opinion, and eventually somebody gets their wings flipped, and you don't lose money going to the bank.
So when prices are this low, what does it mean for acres here in the U.S.? Could we see some sort of a surprise when we get to spring?
Yeah, historically we have, and I have an opinion that says I'll lose less if I farm it, and if I lose $200 an acre planting the crop, that's less than the $400 that I might lose by renting it and not farming it at all. So some of it doesn't make sense, but we have probably 40% of the farmers in the business, I think, that are maybe pretty well debt free. They could do some things like tiling or putting in waterways and say, I'm just not going to farm this year. And it, that again becomes psychological. And it's kind of like going out to dinner and finding out that a steak costs you $50 and you know what you're getting for it when you sell it on the hoof. You just say, I'm not going to do this anymore. Just for spite or something. And if you have the wherewithal to do that, you got to consider. Remember, we're trying to plant 91 million acres of corn and 80 some minutes, so 170 million acres. If we move the needle 2%, that and one commodity or another, that would make a difference. That would mean a couple more million acres of corn, or more or less. And same thing with beans. So it doesn't take a 15% move. It just takes a little bit to get things a little bit tighter. And that's what the market is telling us to do. They're saying, Jerry, you got anything that's marginal ground? Don't plant it. Plant it to grass and or rye and bale it and sell it to a feeder or something. And so that's kind of what the market's been telling us now, is that we don't need all your grain. And if you're going to grow it, you're going to take a fire sale price for at least part of it. And we'll see what happens. But we've seen that happened before, where we've seen land idle. I remember driving through North and South Dakota, and I saw land that was idle, and I wondered what's going on. They didn't need to plant it because they didn't lose as much as somebody in Iowa or Illinois. If we start letting plant ground set idle in Illinois, it's pretty bad. But like I say, we could see probably 1.5 to 2.5 million acres of total acres disappear, and you wonder where they're all at. And of course, the bear out there that sees prices go up, if that happens, he's going to say it's a conspiracy. The market's juggling. The government's making the numbers look good because an election's coming. But all this is really supply and demand and profit and all, and pure economics. That's what our free enterprise is all about.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Jerry. And for more information, you can contact Jerry at info@gulkygroup.com. I'm Michelle Rook with the Weekend Market Report.